From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 269 with guest Rhonda Layfield, recorded Tuesday, May 22nd, 2012. Run As Radio is produced each week by TWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and you are listening to Run As Radio. Thanks for listening to us. Today's show, I've got Rhonda Layfield coming to us all the way from Slovenia. We've had Rhonda on the show a number of times, so I don't even know if I have to introduce you anymore. Who doesn't know who you are? You've been in the IT industry for forever, started in the U.S. Navy, has a little background in dealing with nuclear power plants that she cannot talk about. But these days, when we do chat with Rhonda, it's mostly about fun stuff like deployment. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I have to tell you, I had to take a break from the Slovenian party tonight. So I went over, kind of hung out for a bit, had dinner, a couple glasses of wine. Then I thought, oh, I've got to get back to the hotel. So I'm here, and they're having this killer party in an old salt warehouse.
Wow, that's
cool. It's really cool. I've never seen anything like it.
And you're right on the shoreline along the cliff faces in Slovenia?
Right along the Adriatic Sea. It's right outside my hotel window. It is 15 feet of walking to get into the water.
Oh, very nice.
Wow. It's gorgeous. And I can actually see Croatia. Croatia is just on the other side of the little tiny bay where we are here.
Yeah, the countries are much closer together around there.
They are. Yeah, especially when you're on the border.
Yeah, and if you look the other way, I bet Italy's not that far away either.
It's not. I flew into Venice, and then it was a two-hour car ride to get over here.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of hitting everything this trip.
I don't know. The excitement of being the deployment queen.
It is exciting right now. Very exciting.
Well, because VMDT 2012 finally shipped.
It did, and I was surprised at how quickly. I kept hearing that it was going to ship right after Config Manager 2012 did, but
right.
I didn't realize it'd be like the next day.
And I really appreciate that Microsoft, because MDT 2012 is free, right? It's just one of the solution accelerators. You can have it, where Config Man costs money. But the fact that Microsoft's made MDT 2012 an important part of Config Man, I think is a great idea, because it just means, you know, the free product's going to continue to thrive.
Well, it made Config Manager so much better, and for a paid-for solution, mm-hmm. I'm amazed at the functionality and flexibility it gives us, because it really does open up a whole lot of additional automation that we can do with it,
mm-hmm.
and you would think that everything would be built in Config Manager, but Mr. Niehaus, you got to take your hat off to that guy, the PM for MDT. He has really, really created a fantastic tool. And I have to tell you, everything I try with it works. I
wow.
don't run into any situations where it's like, well, that's not ready. No, everything works and everything's ready.
So are we just talking about different kinds of deployment scenarios, migration techniques like XP to Win7, those kinds of things?
Well, yeah, we've always got that, but there are some new VHD, deploying VHD images now that's kind of slick. We had that in the past, but you had to be an SA client to get it. Now it's open to everybody.
Okay.
Some things are new and still available to SA clients, like the remote control during a WinPE session. I think we've talked about that at a previous show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only available to SA clients now. I'm not sure what the time frame is, but eventually that will be available to other people, I would think.
But it also seems like a really large scale technique too, right? When you want to do 1,000 deployments at once, this is more the kind of tools you want to use.
Absolutely, and I'm amazed that a free tool like this provides the functionality that it does. Usually, free tools give you just a little taste of a tool that you're
yeah.
supposed to buy.
So, what is it we get in Config Man that makes it worth buying?
Well, Config Man, you get zero-touch installations.
Right.
You could set it up so that at 3 o'clock in the morning, it reaches across the network, grabs the computer by the throat, wakes it up, and shoves a new operating system down its throat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't get much slicker than that.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
Config Manager's got everything built into it for that.
But at MDT, you could do some of that.
You can do 98% of it.
Wow.
With MDT by itself, you still have to have some product that can do a wake on LAN.
Right.
Other than that, MDT will do it all. It's amazing how much you can automate MDT solutions nowadays. It's just really been opened up. And really, what happens is when the process kicks off, it runs this script called VTI Gather, and it gathers all this information about that computer, and it puts it in a log file called ztigather.log. You can open that log file, and any information you find in there, you can key a piece of the deployment off of. So it just really is phenomenal how wide open automation is and how easy it is to do nowadays.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the methods you would learn on, I'm thinking through potential deployments, like I want machines with a certain configuration to get a certain application. Is that where we're headed?
Oh, we can do that already. That's a piece of cake. But to set it up so that a 32-bit machine boots up, you figure out if it's a desktop or a laptop machine. Let's say it's a laptop machine. So then you look at the make of the machine. Oh, it might be a Lenovo T61P. And then you can decide which task sequence is going to run.
Right.
So all that can be decided up front, and then you can have fully customized task sequences. And this is the real beauty behind just having one image. That one image can be deployed to every single desktop, every single laptop, just based on a different task sequence.
Well, because you end up, when you have multiple images, you have old ones and new ones. And you sort of fall behind the images that you leave behind. Being able to have one thing you maintain.
And when you mean by maintain, it's, you know, patching and putting new applications, versions of applications in there.
Yeah.
It's so much nicer with one image. And then you can just allow MDT to do all of the patching for you. And it takes 2 seconds to go in and pull out one application, put in a new version of an application, and the task sequence is done. It takes all of 15 seconds to change out a version of an application. And I don't think it gets any better than that.
Wow. No, that's very exciting. I mean, the other question is, when we get a new OS, are we going to be able to do the same sort of swap?
Yes, absolutely. We can already do it.
You have no fear. When it's time to take Win 8, we're going to be able to look at our Win 7 deploy set and say, okay, leave all this Office apps and my ERP apps and so forth in place. Just pull this OS out, put that OS in. We're good to go.
Already done. It takes 10 seconds.
You have no fear. You're amazing.
No, I have none because I've been playing with it so much, and I know that they've done a fantastic job with it. I wouldn't say that from XP to Vista or Windows 7. Absolutely not. But Windows 8, it's been out, you know, the betas and stuff that we've all been playing around with.
Yeah.
I have had no problem because I've been playing with this and I keep doing it. I'll take one of my old Windows 7 task sequences, open the task sequence, go down to the task where it's install operating system, and there's a little browse button down there. You just browse to Windows 8 and save and deploy. You're done. It takes probably less than 10 seconds if you know what you're doing.
But, I mean, behind the scenes there's a lot going on. That's different drivers. There's a lot of different rules that are going to have to impact the machine when that happens.
Well, I'm not sure the drivers are going to be as different.
Yeah.
Just like going from Vista to Windows 7, I don't think we've gotten to a major version change like XP to Vista.
Right.
That was major.
The big driver break.
Yeah. So I think that most drivers that worked in Windows 7 are going to work in Windows 8. So it's not a re-engineering design feature to have to go back to the drawing board and start from scratch again.
And just to dot the I's across the T's, when 8 is a consumer preview, you should not be deploying this in the field. This is in your lab.
Absolutely. Only lab.
Yeah.
Only lab.
But it just sort of demonstrates that MDT's hit a place now where you don't need to be afraid. These combinations all seem to work.
They do. At this point, they just work easily.
So any surprises you found in the final version of MDT 2012?
You know, there were a couple surprises. I'm doing a lot of gigs up in the D.C. area for federal government agencies. And so I've been seeing MDT in different environments. And one of the big surprises was the Bootstrap INI file normally holds the universal naming convention, the UNC path, to the deployment share you're supposed to connect to. Well, that's been removed. So I know why it's been removed. People have multiple deployment shares, so they wanted a way to be able to select the one they're going to connect to.
Right.
But the first time you see it, if you're used to MDT, you're like, what's this? Why do I have to tell it where to go? I thought it knew where to go.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't now.
So you actually have to, but the upside of that is this idea that I can take blocks of machines and point them to different UNCs to sort of share the load.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's a great improvement, but it's a surprise for folks who are used to the earlier versions.
It is. And I think the other great big surprise is group policy packs. I don't think people understand that with MDT 2012, by default, it deploys these group policy packs, which contain a lot of group policies.
So which group policy packs are we talking about?
Well, by default, you have the Windows 7 SP1 pack, the Vista SP2, 2008 R2 SP1, and 2008 SP2. And the kicker behind this is they're being deployed whether you know it or not.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a good thing for people's environments or a bad thing, but they need to understand at least what they're putting out there.
So you build your MDT pack with a new version of the OS, it's automatically going to grab the appropriate policy pack to go with it. But these default policy packs, they don't set that much.
They really don't set that much, but they are documented, and I think it's worth a peek to go look at them. If you just Googled MDT 2012 group policy packs, you'll probably go right to the deployment guys' Excel spreadsheets that they've put out there. And it's all well documented as to what's being set. So people should know what's being set. And if they don't want it to be set, you can always go into the custom settings INI and tell it to apply GPO pack. No. And you can create your own custom GPO packs now. Have you seen that new Security Compliance Manager?
I have not. I heard about it. Tell me. Let's let everybody know. So what is Security Compliance Manager?
Man, this is one of the coolest tools I've seen. And I know that the guys who worked on it are really proud of it, as they should be. But it's a fantastic tool that looks at your security settings in GPOs. And it can do a lot of things with them. First of all, you can import your existing settings. And I know that nobody does this. To document those settings, you can just simply click on Export Excel, and it spits out all your settings to an Excel spreadsheet that takes all of, 10, 20 seconds. You could print that off, throw it in a notebook, and call it documentation. Make your boss real happy there. But it gets better. You can actually, there's a lot of baselines in here that Microsoft has created. There's Windows 7 and Server 2003 SP2s and 2008 Vista XP. There's some for additional products, which aren't really group policy based or more PowerShell oriented.
Right.
But the settings are still there.
Oh, interesting.
So they've got Exchange Server as one of the baselines, and I know they're working on one for SQL. So it's kind of cool that they're like rolling all security settings for all packages into this tool. I just can't say enough nice things about this tool. But one of my favorite features, you can compare a group policy. So take your existing group policy off of a domain join machine.
Yep.
And then compare it to a policy that you've created or no policy. And create your own GPO pack to deploy using MDT.
Huh. Well, just this whole thinking around using MDT to deploy GPOs in general is interesting. But I just, you know, I meet a lot of folks who just have not taken group policy all that seriously. They're just stuck with the defaults, not really worried about it. So your original point about MDT 2012 is now pushing out these group policy packs. We are going to run into circumstances where people's policies are going to be changed unexpectedly. Don't you think?
Until they join the domain.
Right.
But even then, if they join the domain and the settings don't come down, they don't have the same settings set, they could end up in some unknown land.
Right. I'm just thinking,
so absolutely.
If you haven't taken control of your group policies, it's not a reason to steer clear of MDT 2012. It sounds like I could use SCM to go grab the policies off an existing domain join machine, compare it to the policies in the pack, and have a better idea of what's going to be changed.
Exactly. And there's this command line utility called localgpo.msi. When you install SCM on a machine, you can go into the installation files under Program Files, Security Compliance Manager, Tools, and you'll find localgpo.msi. You just copy that, take it to one of your existing domain join machines. You run it with the export switch and the GPO pack switch. And then it creates a GPO pack policy, which you can then import into your server. And then you can compare that to whatever other policy you want to compare it to.
Right.
And then here's the fun part. If you think, oh, I need all those settings, I don't want to go with just one or the other, you can merge the two together.
Huh. And it'll pull up the conflicting settings and you can choose which one is which?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I just like the idea of treating group policy as a whole like that and then just rolling it as part of MDT so that you know it's going to get deployed on everything going forward.
Well, I think that we've found out during deployments that when the machine does join the domain mm-hmm. and gets its group policies, that can be a really long log on for the first time.
Yeah, no question.
And so we're trying to get around that. And if the group policies are on the machine that you've just newly deployed and they match what's on your domain controllers, well, that's the best of both worlds. It's a short, quick, yeah, we're here, everything's good, and you move on and get logged on.
Right. You don't have to actually change anything. So at least you overcome those kinds of problems. Well, I never saw this happening, but you say when you did a major upgrade or you did a big push on MDT, everybody's first login would take a long time as it revalidated all the group policies?
Well, yes, it changed them.
Right.
Yes. In a lot, and I'm working in, like I said, some government agencies that don't have really good networks.
Mm-hmm.
So it has taken quite some time on that first log on.
Yeah, okay, I could see that. And especially when you do a big push like that and it's hundreds of machines at once, that could really almost take an, 100 base T, let's be optimistic at least, network really to its knees.
Well, that, and think about your poor domain controllers. I mean, they're getting hammered anyway by all the requests.
Yeah.
But if the network slows it down, it's almost like having a dual bottleneck there.
Yeah. The update day becomes horrifying. It's just one of those things. Now, SCM sounds like a tool I only want on an admin's machine anyway, right? You don't need to push this out anywhere else.
No, nobody else needs to have it. That, mm-hmm. Most people don't even know what a group policy is,
right.
And they couldn't do anything with one if they created their own anyway.
Yeah.
So.
But so this is just is there a bit of a console there? It helps me see what's going on?
Oh, it's a fantastic console. It's a free download from Microsoft, and it takes just a couple minutes to install. The first time you open it, it's going to take probably 5-10 minutes, depending on the speed of your machine, because it's downloading all the baselines and it's getting everything all set up. And one of the cool things they've done, and I love this because I like teams at Microsoft who share information.
Mm-hmm.
And so, group policies didn't just appear. There's a reason that every group policy exists.
Right.
And they are from companies that Microsoft has worked with, very large companies and some middle-sized companies, and they found vulnerabilities.
Right.
And if they find a vulnerability, they have to figure out what the impact is going to be and then create a countermeasure for it, which is where group policies came from. And SCM gives you a dictionary on every single setting that's in there. And I just think they've done a fantastic job with making it so easy for us to understand group policy settings better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to bring all, there's so many different sets of policies for so many different issues, just to bring all that information to one place, I think is pretty exciting.
Yeah, they've done a fantastic job with this tool.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. That's an interesting product. Again, freely downloadable, just another one of the solution accelerators that I don't think enough folks know about. The question is, do you really need SCM in an MDT context? It sounds like something I want to grab anyway, just to sort of get a look at where my group policies are at.
Well, I think in a lot of companies, the security people aren't the people who are actually rolling out the deployment.
Right.
So, and I'm not sure how to phrase this, but sometimes the security people don't want to tell anybody else what they're doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think for people who are rolling out deployments and are in charge of MDT, that sometimes it's easier for them to go to an existing domain joined machine and use the local gpo.msi, get a backup of a GPO, take that to your machine where you have SCM installed, look at the local backup, compare that to a machine that didn't have a GPO at all.
Right.
And then you can create a GPO pack that will be the same as the domain joined machine.
And generally, we're talking about these policies specific to Windows as a whole, right? Not really application group policies.
No, they're definitely more towards Windows.
Mm-hmm. Although that does encompass stuff like Internet Explorer and the like.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And I think they've got baselines built in for 8 and 9, i.e. 8 and 9.
Okay, that's good. I mean, it's definitely headed in the right direction. It's just a question of whether we're ever going to get to a point where we see group policy around applications.
Well, and that's what I want to see. I want to see desktop settings.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see SCM encompass everything. But I know they are a security team.
Right.
But it sure would be nice if we could just grab the entire group policy. If we can already do these settings, I don't know how much more difficult it would be for them, and it's definitely on my wish list, why don't you just dump the entire group policy and let me come in and make changes to the entire group policy instead of just the security setting?
Yeah, because there is the group policy management console, which is, you know, sort of group policy general, but that's an old product, right? That's from years ago.
That's an old product, and it doesn't do a quarter. It doesn't do one-tenth of what this product does.
Yeah.
Just being able to pull in a group policy and tell it to export it as an Excel spreadsheet and create your own documentation, it things just don't get any easier than that.
Yeah, just boom, you've got all this data right there.
Who's
creating the new packs around these security violations, and how often are they coming up?
Gosh, I'm not sure how often they plan on bringing them out. And I don't know which team created these group policy packs.
Right.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Obviously, there's new ones coming. Like, I almost see it as like virus protection, right? We're going to routinely have new threats coming up, and they're going to want to tweak policy to deal with it.
Absolutely. But now you've got me curious as to why the settings that are in the group policy packs are there. Because they're not just generic vanilla settings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're clearly thoughtful processes, right? These have been created because of events that have happened.
Right.
Right. And especially when you get into stuff like, I'm just peeking through some of the SCM stuff and saying, oh, look, a whole set of policies you could configure around BitLocker. Well, I bet this is, you know, information that's been picked up the hard way about people not using BitLocker appropriately in the field. So, you know, I'm really fascinated at where are they gathering this data from. And, one of the things that happens on Run As routinely is we get a chance to talk to the premier field engineers, the guys that are out in the field, who still work for Microsoft, but they're doing an awful lot of that field work. And I just think, I bet you those guys have a ton of info around this.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I would love to hear about that.
Yeah.
They didn't go as far as the USGCB settings. Are you familiar with the old SDCC settings?
No.
For government? So, tons and tons of settings and group policies must be set to adhere to DoD standards.
Right, right, yeah. Good set of rules.
Yeah, and they're pretty stringent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no USB devices can be connected unless they're encrypted.
Period.
That's it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they really take it from one extreme to the other, and they have to be mandated by this. So these group policy packs do not go that far, which, thank goodness, because I don't think they need to, but I'd love to find out just how far they go. And I've looked at the Excel spreadsheets, and I'm not sure why they've set the settings the way they have. That'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah, there's bound to be a story behind each one of these. I've grabbed the TechNet article, and I'll include this as a link in the show, for Security Compliance Manager, and actually the list of the security baselines for all the major products. I mean, 2008 R2, 2008, 2003, 7, Vista, XP, IE9 and 8, it'd be Exchange Server, even Office has a set of baselines here. And they're all up to date roughly March 2012, which is when SCM 2.5 came out. So, I mean, it sounds like they're doing once, twice a year updates to this. But yeah, it's really interesting to see that they've sort of combined all of this information they're gathering through various countermeasure efforts and then rolled them into products so we don't actually have to do it ourselves or apply them individually. We got them as a grouping.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, the Solution Accelerators website has a nice little 5, maybe 7 minute video on it, put out by a couple of the PMs, Jeff and Jose, for SCM. And it's really interesting to sit and listen to why they created it the way they did.
Mm-hmm. And just look at it from a security perspective. Now, and right away I jump to, okay, I love it. It's great. Give me this kind of tooling around straight up behavioral configurations. I mean, just so you think about stuff like Office, right? I would love a set of policies for Office working with SharePoint. You know, the right way to make sure people are working in their project groupings, the right way to make sure that folks, when they copy files off, do it that way, how we check with our rights management. There's all kinds of cool things we could configure here.
Wouldn't it be cool if there was an additional front end to this that just you told them what you were going to do, you were going to integrate Office and SharePoint,
yeah,
and then it came up and just asked you about 10, maybe 15 questions. You answered the questions with what you're doing. And then it built the group policy behind the scenes.
Yeah,
be kind of slick.
Yeah, and we're almost getting to that SLA level for services around these apps. But, you know, folks ask that question anyway. Hey, I'm thinking about doing a deep integration. You know, I want to use SharePoint as my document management solution. We're already using Office. What are the conversations we need to have with business about how this should be working? What are our good practices around that? So more tooling to just help that happen. And then to, you know, think about, you know, exactly what you described. It's going to give me the list of questions. Now I can go away and talk to business about doing it. Then I can come back, answer those questions. It generates the policy pack. We push it out through MDT. We're done.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I think we just created a new product. Wow, we're good.
Well, you create it and I'll teach it.
Yeah, we just think it further and further out. But I'm always fascinated by it. You know, folks have really, a lot of folks can ignore group policy for a long time. But I also like this idea of different tiers of security levels. Like, obviously, your work with DOD and government related, their settings are more strict. But you could also see that there could be strata there of, you know, what's an appropriate group's set of policies for my security level, this security level, and so forth.
Yeah, those always kind of slap me upside the head when I'll walk in someplace that's not DOD and they'll tell me some of their group policy settings. I'm like, you're letting them do what? What? I'm like, okay, I can't look you in the eye right now because yeah. I'm so used to not hearing that. It surprises me. But and I think those might be some of the people that you've talked about who have not yet embraced group policies. And I've got to say, it's time. If you have not embraced group policies, you need to get on board because they're your best friend.
Well, and the funny part is, whether you use group policy or not, it's all through Windows. You run Windows, you're using group policy.
Right.
Right. It's there anyway. And interesting, you know, this whole line of conversation came up because you talked about how MDT 2012 is pushing out policy packs by default.
And I think a lot of people don't know it.
Mm-hmm. But you can turn it off if you really want to.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Custom settings, INI, group policy, apply GPO packs equals no.
Right. So it's down in the INI level. This is not a checkbox or, you know, it's not quite that simple.
Well, when I say custom settings INI, if you right click in the deployment workbench mm-hmm. on your deployment share and go to the rules tab, that's the same thing.
Yeah, it's in there.
So it's in the interface as well.
Okay, and you can just check it off, take it out, and you know, go from there. Do you actually use MDT for pushing a lot of server-related stuff, or is it mostly desktop?
Right now, everybody seems to be on the, think of a good way to put this, on the race to get Windows 7 out.
Right.
Because we all know that XP support is going to end, I think it's April 2014.
Yeah, we're under 2 years now, so there's a few folks out there that keep barking out the number of days. It's in the 600s at the moment, but yeah, it does seem like Windows 7 deployment is the driver, and then MDT is becoming the de facto way to do it.
It is, and I'm surprised that even enterprise clients who own, and that's, once again, we come back to that separation of departments,
mm-hmm.
that there are some departments that use SCCM for inventory.
Right.
And someone else who uses it for WSUS,
mm-hmm.
so for your software updates, but they're not allowed to use it for deployment.
Interesting.
I will never understand how the government works.
But does that come back to one guy's bad experience is basically, you know, created a policy?
I'm not sure. And I think I should just not even answer that question.
Nice.
On what I think it might be.
I appreciate that, Rhonda. I understand where you're coming from there. That's just fine.
But blows my mind. The product is already in-house. You've mm-hmm. already purchased it. Why are you creating a completely different solution? But, hey, I'm here. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll create it for you. I have no problem with that. So,
but, I mean, desktops are something we routinely redeploy, so it becomes very easy to understand why you have MDT sitting around where you can quickly, you know, snapshot that on, redo that machine, create a new machine just like it, you know, that sort of behavior. I'm just wondering if we see a future with servers like that. You know, I'm still spending an awful lot of time scaling websites, and I really like the way MDT handles machines for web farms. That I need these 12 computers to be absolutely identical. They're all IIS servers configured a particular way, and if they're not the same, bad things happen when we load balance between them. So I need to know that deployment's identical, and MDT's been the only thing I've found really, really made that work.
And I think if more people understood how powerful MDT is with server deployments, because what you just described is you could set up the MDT database as a role.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime these servers come in and need to be re-imaged, which we all know, re-imaging is just a troubleshooting step today.
Yep.
They will all get these exact roles, but then you could break it down by MAC address or GUID and say, but this one gets this IP address,
right.
This one gets that IP, or whatever you need to do to set up your IP scheme. The point I'm making is you can be as broad or as specific as you want with your settings. You set it up one time, and re-imaging for the next 5 years is done exactly the same way on that server every single time, and you don't even have to think about it. Nobody does. Mm-hmm. They just start the image process and walk away.
This is one of the things I've run into over and over again when scaling websites, is this idea of the ownership of the application as a whole. It's a group of web servers. It's a load balancing scheme. It's a set of databases, maybe some app servers. And I feel like MDT becomes this focal point of when you describe the whole app, this is the documentation of it. It's servers with these IP addresses and this set of image and these ones here. And all those configuration rules end up in one place. And you can take a new... I also don't want to miss this point because it's something that it's made a big difference for me. The hardware doesn't have to be identical anymore. I mean,
isn't that beautiful?
Oh, back in the Ghost era, you know, I bought extra machines because I needed same BIOSes, same rev of chips and so forth, because the images wouldn't work properly otherwise.
But you didn't get the same rev of chips. The chipsets were different. We used to order 300, 500 machines at a time.
Yeah.
And I would have to have different images based on the chipset.
Yeah.
And it drove me insane because I'm like, what's different? It's the same make, it's the same model, but the image isn't laying down.
Yeah.
It's a different chipset.
Yeah, little changes, even in the same order.
Yep.
That's great. Yeah. So frustrating. So the fact that MDT's made that go away. I just wonder how many, you know, we were talking about this idea of folks that have a bad experience that don't actually go back to that technology. How many folks were put off of imaging technologies because of that kind of stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tons of them. But they have to go back and take a look now. I mean, because they have no choice.
Yeah.
XP support is going to end. So they're being forced to go back and take a look now.
Yeah. Well, and if you're planning a migration like this, it would be crazy not to use this. It's so much harder any other way.
Well, and it's crazy to wait until the last minute, too, because deployments don't happen overnight. They've got application compatibility to test,
mm-hmm.
find out which machines can take Windows 7, which ones they're going to have to replace.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of planning that goes into a deployment. So if companies aren't planning their deployment now, they are behind the eight ball.
Yeah, they're getting down in time. Are you finding folks that are running XP machines that can't run Win 7?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness, yes. Remember who I'm working with.
I'm afraid to even tip that topic over. It's probably a whole other show.
It's interesting. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, Rhonda, always good fun to talk to you. It sounds like you're having a great time out there.
Having a lot of fun. It's always good to talk to you, Richard.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.